So reading from Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20 can be found on page 1670 in the Pew Bibles. It's entitled The Armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. So far, reading.
The text this morning for this sermon comes from that section. It's from verse 13 to 17. And previously I've read the first part of this sermon. That's quite a few months ago now. And now we're going to have part two, which is from verse 13 to 17. So this sermon has been prepared by the Reverend Peter Smith, and it's called Being Prepared for Battle. Our congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual warfare is real. Jesus faced it, the disciples faced it, and if you're a Christian, you'll face it. We know that our struggle, our up-close and personal wrestle is not against human forces, but rather against the spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers in this dark world. Satan has his rebellious demonic angels. You ignore this at your own peril. If you desire to grow as a Christian, you will come under attack. It may be temptation to steal, to lust, to covet, and disobey any of God's commands. You may be assaulted by unreasonable fear or doubt or overwhelming depression. Satan's accusations can steal your joy and rob you of assurance. Not only can you be the target of attack, if you are not careful, you can be used as a pawn in Satan's hand. He can fill your heart with pride, prejudice, and self-righteousness, and a critical and divisive spirit. So it is critical that you are aware of your enemy, but you also know how to do battle with him. Previously, we looked at awareness strategies that the Bible gives us about the evil one. Things like you must acknowledge your need of God's strength. You need to know your enemy and his schemes, and the battle is a spiritual one. Today we're looking at the second half of this passage, which outlines your response strategy to spiritual battle. The Bible says, like a soldier of Christ, you must put on the armor. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And therefore put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Yes, put on the armor of God. Paul pictures a soldier of the day, equipped and ready for battle, and he says, put on the full armor. A half-armored soldier is going to be a dead one. Verse 11 and 13 tell us that the armor does two things. It protects you when you're attacked by the devil's schemes, and it shields you from the power of his lies, accusations, and deception. The armor protects you and deflects attack. Secondly, it helps you to stand your ground when the day of evil comes. The Bible tells us in the last days there will be a great tribulation. The church will come under severe spiritual attack. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Jesus said that the faith of some will fall away. The time of tribulation will come just before Jesus' second coming. But the day of evil can also come before then. Ephesians tells us that the days are evil, just like Job discovered. Satan can attack. He can assault a follower of Christ and inflict evil days on people now. But through Christ, we can stand against it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it also says, the weapons we fight with have divine authority to bring down strongholds of doubt, insecurity, pride and rebellion, hatred and division. Why? Because Jesus Christ is on the throne. Jesus has defended the prince of this world, Satan, at the cross. Jesus cast out the ruler of this world. Jesus won the victory over sin and death. The person that trusts in Jesus will discover that his truth will set them free. Free from condemnation, free from shame and guilt, free from power of slavery to sin. In Christ, you can receive power to overcome. But what do we see in the Western world today? We see a church who is complacent. We see a church unprepared. We see a church ignorant of the battle, not grounded in the Word, not filled with the Spirit, a weak, an unprepared church cannot stand in the battle and will become a devil's pawn or the devil's prize target. And that's why Paul says to us all, remember who you are. If you've submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, remember that Jesus has made you alive. Remember that once you were once an object of wrath, yet he saved you by grace. Remember that he has seated you in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And because Jesus is Lord over powers, you too have his divine power to overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. People of God, we must not fear. We must act. We must clothe ourselves with the armor he has provided. And the whole armor here is represented by a Roman soldier. There are six main pieces. Let's look at them then and see how they protect us. The first piece is the belt of truth. The belt of truth is buckled around your waist. Underneath a Roman soldier's armor is a foundation garment, a leather apron or a belt, and it was like breeches. And this tough garment was fastened tight around the waist, protecting the vital inner organs. It made a rapid movement easier. And Paul says our first piece of armor is the belt of truth. Lies obscure reality. Lies hide what is really true. And Satan is the father of lies. He loves to breed misunderstanding. He loves to twist the truth. He loves to obscure it. And Romans 1:25 speaks of evil people and says, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. But you must buckle up with the truth. God's truth must be tightened around you. Jesus said the truth will set you free. Knowing God's truth is the start. But where there is misunderstanding, humble yourself and seek the truth. Ask God to reveal it to you. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 6 it says, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Satan will attack you with lies. You must know God's truth and obey it. Seek the truth in all things. And without this, every other piece of armor is useless. The second piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, Paul is quoting here from Isaiah 59 verse 17, which talks of God taking action to deal with sin and those who disobey him. It says, put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. God puts on his righteousness as a breastplate. He prepared himself for battle, and you should too. Paul says you need the breastplate of righteousness in place. A Roman soldier wore a breastplate. It was a leather overlaid with metal, and it protected the chest in battle. And this piece of frontal armor was vital for the protection of the chest, the lungs, the heart, and an arrow shot from 20 paces would only left a small dent in it. It's the breastplate of righteousness. And righteousness has two aspects. First, it means that God justifies you. God covers your sin, declaring you righteous because of Christ's atoning work on the cross. Theologians talk of Jesus' work on the cross as being a propitiation for sins, which means through Christ God turns away his anger on your sin and he declares you as righteous. And that's a powerful piece of armor for a believer. Why? Because if Satan can rob you of your assurance that God has saved you, he has mortally wounded your faith. You'll be weak against sin, not sure of God's love. You'll be constantly fearful and anxious. But when this hope is in your heart that God has saved you, he will declare you righteous. And he has said, I've turned away my wrath on your sin by pouring it onto my Jesus. And that there is no condemnation for you. And that is freeing. The truth will conquer every fear and doubt if you believe it. And secondly, righteousness here also means living a morally right life. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 7, Paul says he holds the weapon of righteousness in his right hand and in the left. When by the Holy Spirit's power you strive towards a morally right way of living in thanks to God, then your Christian character and conduct itself will be a breastplate. Like God, you can move forward toward the enemy with bold confidence because Satan can't accuse you of sin. Righteousness will protect you. The third piece of armor is feet fitted with the gospel readiness. And with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, Roman soldiers wore a caligula on their feet. It was a half boot made of leather. It left the toes free and had heavily studded soles. And they were tied to the ankles and the shins with ornamental straps. And they ensured mobility for a long march. And they prevented the foot from sliding. In the fray of battle, if you lose your footing, you lose your advantage. A Christian is to be equipped with gospel boots. And that means readiness, preparedness, and firmness. God wants us to be tiptoe ready to announce the good news of peace, the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that you can be forgiven, the good news that Jesus ascended to heaven and that he rules, the good news that you can be part of his kingdom and receive the free gift of life, eternal life, if you repent and believe the good news about him. How can that be an armor? Because the message of the gospel triumphs over evil. Children of God, you are feet fitted with gospel readiness. Are you ready to share this gospel of peace? Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, and who bring good tidings." Pray that God will enable you to use your feet to take the gospel to your neighbours and friends. Then the fourth piece is the shield of faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The word shield used here, thuron, was the shield the heavy infantry used. It was a large oblong one which covered the whole person. It was made of wood and covered with leather. The soldier would wet the shield before battle, so that if flaming arrows were fired, the arrows would be extinguished. When marching into battle after Roman legionaries closed ranks, the front row holding the shields forward and those behind them holding the shields above them, they were virtually invulnerable to any attack from flaming arrows. Brothers and sisters, your shield is a shield of faith. You use it alongside your belt of truth. The shield is God's truth held up in trust. So when fiery arrows and accusations come, you hold up the word of God, the truth of God, and trust him to bring it to pass. When Satan's arrows come, you extinguish them by saying, "I will put my trust in God. I will believe God and God will help me. I trust his word." I distinctly remember a time when I was really sick with a bad virus. I had people come and pray for me. And the next day I remember lying on the back lawn, dry reaching. I was totally spent. And I remember this accusation came into my head. And it said, "Why do you trust in God and pray when this is how he responds to your prayer?" It was as clear as day. I turned to the origin of that thought and said, "I will trust God no matter what. Get behind me, Satan." And that was using the shield of faith. You deflect these accusations. You refuse the lies. And you refute them. Then the arrows don't land and they don't cripple you. And like Job, you say, Though he slay me, I will yet hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this will in turn out for my deliverance. Maybe some of you are facing really difficult times, dark days. God says to you, hold up your shield of faith, trust me and believe. The fifth piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation, the bronze helmet equipped with cheek pieces that was necessary to protect the head. Only axes or a hammer could pierce that helmet. And our headpiece is the helmet of salvation. It is a confident expectation of the full salvation that Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, when you're in battle, when it is hard, when you're under attack, there is one thing that keeps you going, hope. Hope that no matter how thick the battle is, or how hard your circumstances, that Jesus Christ is with you. Jesus has saved you and is preparing a place for you in heaven. And that means everything to a persecuted Christian who've lost love, to persecuted Christians who've lost loved ones. And that means everything when your home has been destroyed because people hate you or because of Jesus. It means everything when people persecute you, hate you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of your faith and love for Jesus. Keep that helmet on your head, covering your mind. Let the bright day of salvation spur you on and to keep at it, no matter how hard at times or how discouraged you can feel. And the last piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit. A sword can be used for attack as well as defense. The sword was a weapon used in close battle, and it was a short sword. And Paul tells us that this sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. God's Word has power to cut through lies, deception, and deceit. And Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The book of Revelation pictures Jesus in his glory, and it says of him, out of his mouth come a sharp double-edged sword. Jesus fought off Satan's temptations by quoting Scripture. Scripture is a powerful weapon against temptation and deception. So don't let your sword get rusty. Don't let it go blunt. Be in the Word. Meditate on it. Feed on it. In spiritual warfare, you need it to counter attack. You need the sword of the Spirit of God's Word to cut down Satan's lies. Know it, memorize it, and wield it. Brothers and sisters, we're engaged in a battle with a real enemy. At the name of Jesus, Satan and demonic forces will cower. And they will flee. We shouldn't overestimate him, nor, however, should we underestimate the forces of evil. And God says to you, be strong in God's power. Stand firm against the evil one, and most importantly, put on your armor. Don't walk around unprotected and defenseless. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, the gospel-ready feet, and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation and the sword of God's Spirit, the Word of God, and be ready and prepared for battle so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes And remember, in Jesus Christ, you are more than a conqueror. As you live in His world and are filled with His Spirit, you will overcome. And after you have done everything, you will stand. Amen. Let us pray.